Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. All back in action. The whole team back where they're supposed to be. I'm here. You're here. Kevin's here. Steve's here. It's just like the old days.
I almost sort of missed you.
Thank you. That's the nicest compliment ever.
You're part of my daily routine.
Sure.
I had a few days off.
Yeah.
I had some fun. You were eating lobster rolls.
Had a lot of lobster in Maine. There's no doubt about it. You know who I had a celebrity sighting in the small town in Maine.
Who?
Well, guess.
All right. Can you give me some kind of hint?
Zachary Quinto.
Okay. You're going to need a better hint.
The guy who played Spock?
Yeah. Yeah.
And from Heroes, I think?
He was in Heroes. He was in the epic television series, The Slap, which was about a guy
that.
Who slapped somebody.
You should have been in that.
I would have loved to have had a small role in Slap. He was great in Slap. Someday they'll bring Slap back, Wendy. I'm waiting for that. And Slap Maxwell will also be back with Dabney Coleman.
I've missed
That'll be
you.
Fun.
Not.
So I was just, my wife and I, well, she was walking down a street. I'm still in the throes of an injury. So I was hobbling about 40 yards behind her saying, wait up, like that kid in Christmas Story.
And, poor Bill.
There walking the other way was current day Spock, former star of The Slap, Zachary Quinto, walking down the street.
And what'd you say? What'd you do?
I had a bunch of thoughts in my head of what I could say. The first one was he worked with Milo Ventimiglia.
Close, but yes.
Milo Ventimiglia from This Is Us.
And from Heroes. They were in Heroes
right.
together.
So my first thought was to say that to him, but then I thought if I was walking on the street and some guy who looked like me said that, I'd go, what do I care? I don't care.
That's what you're going to bring up?
I had a bunch of stuff.
I'm glad you didn't say anything.
A bunch of Spocks. Like, I was going to throw out some Spock fact.
He looked like he could have been Spock's kid when he was in that Star Trek movie.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Good Spock.
The right guy. So there was a bunch of stuff on my head, but I you know.
You should have just pointed at him and went, good Spock.
Right.
Because then he knows you know him, and then you left him alone.
Right. That's not too intrusive.
Opening with the Milo Ventimiglia, that's bad.
I had a bunch of stuff, like, I don't know. There was a bunch of stuff that came to my head, and then I thought, if I'm him, I just want to go wherever I'm going. I don't want. I look like Tiny Tim right now. I'm walking with crutches and a boot.
Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Last week before you left, you were saying something. When I used to ride a bike before the leg injury.
Right. And when you say Tiny Tim, you mean the Dickens character,
not
the singer.
I meant the Dickens character.
He can't
Steve.
Tiptoe.
No, not in this outfit.
Because of his bad leg.
Right.
My leg injury.
Before my leg injury.
God, stop it.
I know. When we get off the plane, it's a small plane that goes from Chicago to Manchester, New Hampshire.
Is it kind of like an island hopper that you'd take?
It's slightly larger than that, but not a lot larger. It's one of those planes that has two seats on one side of the aisle and then just one on the other side. It's that small. I think it holds about 45 people.
And you fly from where to where that you need such a small plane?
O'Hare to Manchester, New Hampshire, which is, by the way, the least populated airport I've ever been in, including really small. Like, if you go up into Upper Michigan, they've got a bunch of really small airports, like really small. But there was nobody in at the airport in New Hampshire.
How long have you been on this airport tour? Who's been at a Michigan airport?
When I used to do stand-up, I used to fly out of all these real little...
Before your leg injury?
Prior to the leg injury and industry. So... Now, keep in mind, it's 4th of July weekend, so you'd think there'd be people milling about the airport. It's completely empty. They know you by name when you come in. It's so small.
That's nice.
So I get off the plane, and I'm the third person to get off this plane that has a boot on because of some leg injury. And there's two women who are just, their eyes are wide open and their mouths are down. And they said to me, because I'm the third person to get off with a boot or a leg injury, what's going on in Chicago that everybody leaving town has some sort of malady going on with their leg? And I don't know what the answer to that is.
The three of you should have sat together and commiserated the whole flight. That would have been fun.
I was so busy thinking of things to say if I ran into Zachary Quinto that I didn't have time to even consider that. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I might see modern day Spock. So give me a pass on this one.
You know, it's weird when you see celebrities. My son Dylan has this YouTube, I don't know his name, but he's a YouTube celebrity that Dylan's been watching for the last 5 years. So since Dylan's been like 9 years old. And he's going to be at Navy Pier this coming weekend.
Oh.
So Dylan's already nervous about what he's going to say.
Oh.
And I said, he goes, what if I bomb? I said, first of all,
that won't happen.
And there is no bombing, and make a joke of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then Michael, his older brother, is saying, the first real person that I met one-on-one was Arlo Guthrie, and I bombed big time.
Yeah.
I said, Arlo Guthrie doesn't remember you.
Right.
I'm sorry.
If you had run into Arlo Guthrie 10 minutes after his encounter with your son, he wouldn't remember that it had happened.
But it's weird to hear people, like, as a kid going, this is really kind of like the first someone that means something
sure.
to me. He met Donovan, but that was not as crazy to him as this YouTube sensation.
I think I've told you this. My brother and I, when we were young kids, we went to Las Vegas with my parents. I was 13 and Adam was 11. And we stayed at the MGM Grand Hotel, the original one that had burned down in the fire, not the one that's there now, but it used to be somewhere else. So my brother and I get on the elevator, and then I get off at a floor, but he stays on it. And then he tells me this story. He goes, right after you get off the elevator, the doors open, and Dinah Shore got on. And I go, oh, wow, how about that? And he goes, and I didn't know what to say. So I just kept pointing at her and pointing at her. And then when they got up to the floor he got off at, he said, you're Dinah Shore. And then he got off the elevator in case she wasn't sure who she was.
How old was he, ballpark?
11.
That's adorable.
But he pointed out to Dinah Shore that it was Dinah Shore. And she nodded because she acknowledged, yeah, you nailed it. I am Dinah Shore.
I bet she chuckled about that for a couple hours.
He was so proud of himself that he thought of that right on the spot. Because a lot of people would have said, boy, how about that relationship with Burt Reynolds? Stormy, huh? Or picked out a moment or two from her talk show.
Yeah, 11-year-old kid's not going to bring that
yeah.
up.
Yeah, I guess.
Although an 11-year-old Bill Leff would have.
I would have had a fun fact.
First on his mind.
All right. Right. I take that back.
I would have said, I remember that cooking segment you did with Orson Bean about a year ago. Fantastic.
We've been seeing the USA in our Chevrolet.
Yeah, that's something you say to Dinah Shore. He just pointed at her for 9 floors, didn't break the book. He just kept pointing at her and then ended with those words, you are Dinah Shore. And then just gave himself like a pet. How about
I
that?
Nailed it.
I figured out who you are in 9 floors.
And in Adam's mind, he didn't bomb.
No, he didn't bomb at all. He did real well.
Also, and I want to know and this is totally on his own, and when I don't know how to set this up where it's not going to ruin it. Dylan's going to meet this kid. He's a 19-year-old YouTuber. I swear I don't know his name, and I don't even care. But he wants to pick up some Garrett's Chicago Mix popcorn to give to him and say, welcome to Chicago. Where did he get that idea?
Well, my wife and I did that for Bill Cosby, and
Dylan was with.
All things went south after that.
That's what I said to him. I go, do you remember when you and I and Bill and Terry went to meet Bill Cosby? That's what Bill did to welcome him to Chicago. And I
right.
said, that didn't turn out
did
very
not,
well.
No, it didn't end well at all.
So I'm trying to tell him not
Maybe.
To get the popcorn.
With all due respect to Garrett's, who makes
delicious.
A fine product. But, yeah, the history of giving Garrett's to celebrities, for us anyway, has not been a good one.
No, but you influenced a young boy.
Did,
look
yeah,
at how
I guess
he remembers
I did.
That.
I guess I did. All right. There's nothing to be embarrassed
You're a
about
good
there.
Good man.
All right.
Charlie Brown.
Well, thank you, Lucy. More
pre-injury.
To discuss pre-injury Charlie Brown. Good grief. We'll take a quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Can I complain about one other quick thing? And then there will be no more complaining until 11 o'clock.
All right, go.
All right. Because of my injury, Wendy.
Oh, my
and
God.
I'm, you know, I've been hobbled. If anyone saw that movie where Kathy Bates wrecked James Caan's leg and he couldn't do anything. That's,
Misery.
Yeah.
Is that what you're in?
Yep.
You
so
are
I
sad.
I can't do anything because of my injury, Wendy. I can't. I would love to, but I can't. So because of this, all the tour planning for our trip to Maine fell on my wife's shoulders. And there's a lot you have to set up. You know, you have to get the airfare and the hotel and the rental car and everything. So on the way...
Are those tasks that require walking? Or I'm not sure why...
You don't have to, but... There sometimes, Steve. Yeah, you'll make a call and they'll go, well, how about this? And you go, hold on, I'll check. And then you have to walk to the other side of the room and look at something, look at a calendar. So yeah, there's some walking involved, sure. So my wife had to do everything this time, everything. So on the way to the airport,
she does all the time, though, doesn't she?
No, we split it pretty evenly. We usually split it pretty evenly.
All right.
So I said, what airline is it? And she said, United. And I said, good, because I haven't been kicked off of a plane in a long time. And I love that. So
and they
said,
won't drag you off with your injury.
Not with the injury. No.
Jeez.
So I said, oh, that'll be nice. And I said, who's the rental car company? And her eyes got really big. And she goes, oh. And I go, what? And she goes, I forgot to rent a car. And I go, well, that's not good. I said,
especially with your leg
weekend.
Injury.
I've got the leg injury. I said it's a holiday
but
weekend.
But it's true, the holiday weekend.
Well, it's a factor because Manchester, as I pointed out, is a very, very small airport. Like if it were, we usually fly into Boston, and if it's Logan, it's not a problem at all because they got plenty of cars. But I said, this could be an issue when we get there. So she said, well, it's no problem. I'll do it. We were in the cab on the way to the airport.
Oh, you were like on the way to the airport when she realized she didn't. Okay.
Yep. So she said, I'll call one of the companies. So she called one and couldn't get through and called another and couldn't get through. And she goes, oh, you know what? I forgot about. I just got this email from a company. And I guess there's a lot of companies that do this where they find the lowest rates of any, like you tell them where you're going and when you'll be there. And then they scan 8 or 10 companies and then they say, here's the lowest rental rate you can get. So she does that and they come up with a rate that is really high. And I said, well, I don't know what else to do. This is our only alternative. It was like 3 times the price we normally pay for 5 days of a rental car. But it's the last day, so what are we going to do? So she locks it in. She gives him our credit card. She gives him all the information. She locks it in. We're set. We've got a rental car when we get to Manchester. Then I say to her as we get off the plane, which rental car company is it? And she said, you know, they didn't send me anything that says that because all they do is they scan the different companies. But they don't tell you which of the companies is the one. They just say you got one.
Oh, so they send you the confirmation, but they...
They're supposed to, but they didn't.
Well, that's a problem.
It is a problem. So we go to... At Manchester, there's 7 different rental car companies, and we go to the first one, and we say, do you have a reservation for... And we give them our name, and they go, no, we don't have anything. And I go, it would have just come in this morning. They look, nope, we don't have anything. But you have rental cars, right? No, it's a holiday weekend. We don't have any rental cars. But I'm sure one of the other fine rental car places does it. Same story with the second place. Same story with the third place. Same story with the fourth place. We go to all 7. No one has a reservation, and no one has any rental cars available. They do. They go, if you can wait 3 days,
yes,
we've got a bunch of cars coming up. And one of the companies said, we can do something where we get somebody to drive a car from, it'd be Logan, it'd be Boston. They go, but it's an extra $120.
Yeah, but at that point...
We're stuck, right?
Yeah. So
you're still far from where you're going.
Right. We're an hour and 20 minutes from our destination.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And the price would still be triple.
Okay.
Still.
First of all, who did she do this through where usually you get almost an instantaneous confirmation?
That's what I can't figure out is anytime we've done anything like this, that's what they do. So we woke up. Reese was at home. We woke her up. We say, go through mom's email, see if there's some sort of conference. There's nothing anywhere. But they like we have a thing that says you're locked in at this rate. But
no name.
There's nowhere. So finally, she talked to somebody there and told them our circumstance, and they found us a car. I always think that even when a company tells you they don't have something,
they're sitting
got
on
one or two.
Because what if Lady Gaga comes
right.
up? They're not going to turn
right.
her down, so they always keep a spare.
Right. So she
said,
Spock
guy. What if the Spock guy?
What if Zachary
up?
Quinto comes right. in and he goes, now he should only go to Enterprise, Steve. That wouldn't make sense for him right. to go anywhere but Enterprise.
So By the way, did you see Casey Affleck at the airport? Was he there?
Oh, no, because of Manchester by the Sea?
Right.
No.
All
right. The tourism has gone nuts because of that sad movie.
I heard he took a job at the airport, was raising his son after all.
No, that was just in the movie. Oh.
So what happened to the money she already paid?
We don't know.
Is it on the credit card?
I don't know that yet because we'll get our credit card statement. And I guess
don't
we could call and
online?
Find out.
What is with you two?
I'm injured.
this has nothing to do with the leg injury.
I have a leg injury. I'm in a boot, a specially made boot.
All right. I imagine it was a large sum of money. I mean, wouldn't she have already called the credit card company and said, please, I want to dispute this?
She tried a whole bunch of things to try to trace it back to see. But... Really, there's only 7 rental car companies in the airport. It had to be one of the 7, but none of the 7 would... They didn't show any kind of a reservation confirmation.
I know, but
very
it's
strange.
Sitting on your credit card right now.
I think so. I mean, we won't have to pay it because we didn't rent the car, but it just would have been nice once you go through the paces of making that reservation for it to pay off, right?
I blame it on the Trivago guy.
Part of me blames it on the Trivago guy.
He's getting better looking. I know everybody was all hot for him
he's
before.
He's very handsome.
He's done something.
He's had some work done, obviously. He's very handsome.
He's been taking people's rental car money. And
yeah, I think
surgery.
That's what it is.
That could be part of it.
Solved.
That could be part of it. Yeah, so it was a very unpleasant. We waited until like an hour and 15 minutes for my wife to convince one of the rental car companies. She goes, look at him, because I'm just sitting there. a huddled mass with my injury. Look at him. Do you want him having to walk all the way to Maine in that boot? No, we don't want that.
You can go to Canada.
No, the boot, not a boot.
Okay.
No.
Were you holding a Christmas turkey?
Yes.
Or goose?
And I kept saying, God bless us all, everyone. Because I wanted
You've
to play
been the, saying that for the last the, 20 days.
I wanna say, yeah, I have been. Because when you're on crutches, that's what you say. You say, God bless us all, everyone, and you hope someone gives you a rental car. I've learned that.
Thank God you got one. What would have happened?
I don't know. I said to Terry, we're going to have to fly home.
Well, no.
I thought we were going to have to go home because I didn't want to.
Uber.
Oh, I'm not hooked up to Uber.
God, the two of you, I'm surprised you can get anywhere. And she has to call home to check her email. She couldn't check it on her phone?
Well, she thought that maybe for some reason it went to her home email and not the phone. Because I don't know how your phone is, but when I get email, it's supposed to be instantaneous. There's like a lag time of an hour and 20 minutes. Do you have that on your phone?
No.
Like anytime anyone sends me an email, I have an email tab on my phone, but when I check it, it's all stuff from an hour and 20 minutes ago. So we could throw that in the fun mix.
You know how to refresh your email,
no,
right?
No, he obviously does. I don't know how the two of them
survive. A little
survive.
Lemonade? Just a little, just a small drink of lemonade? That's what we've been
spritzer?
Doing. Yeah, I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, that's how you refresh your phone. You see, I guess I did miss
it's
you.
It's the summer.
This is the stuff I miss.
Sure.
You and your leg injury.
Yeah, I do have a leg injury. I'm not making that part up, Wendy. I'm not just playing you. All right. Do we take a break,
Kevin?
Well,
there's Kevin? A rental car that just pulled up for you.
What? You're messing with me. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. We're glad that you're listening. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. May I ask an ignorant question, just a plain, flat-out ignorant question?
Sure.
Every year on the 4th of July or the days surrounding the 4th of July, they have this Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And it's always this guy named Joey Chestnut who eats an insane amount of hot dogs in a very short amount of time.
How much was it this year in 10 minutes?
I think 70-something, right? I can 70. Find it. 72 hot dogs. In 10 minutes, he had 72 hot dogs. And he keeps winning this contest.
See, I've watched it several years. I can't watch it anymore because it's
disgusting.
It's blasphemous to a hot dog. When you eat a hot dog, excuse me, you want to enjoy it. You
right.
want to taste all the lovely accoutrement on top of the wiener.
Look at it. Look at you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
A French term and making it dirty.
They just dip it in water, and it's this big, soggy, sloppy mess
right.
that you just swallow whole.
Right.
I heard Ryan Burr was telling me today that one of the guys dips it in strawberry solution.
Okay, that's even
because
worse.
Because the sweetness then fights the acid in the hot dog and allows you to keep it down better.
Oh, man. I like that this guy figured that out. Like, he obviously experimented with various types of either liquid or liquidy-type substances to see which would make that work best for him. And he went with strawberry.
Start with a Brussels sprout spur.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I don't know. Do you want to sweeten the taste of a hot dog? I
no.
think that would make me sicker.
I would want it to get down my pipe as quickly as possible so I could have
pipe.
Another...
Nice pipes.
Thanks, Olive.
I don't understand any part of it, but here's the part I don't understand the most.
All right.
Why isn't he really fat?
That's a great question.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't
understand.
There was
understand. That Black Widow who was tiny. She was like 4 feet two and
those,
80 pounds.
Yeah, all those competitive eaters. I wonder if they like...
Purge?
Yeah, or vomit them later. I mean...
Oh.
So this goes, Bill, to one of my questions.
Yeah.
Is there a calorie ceiling that your body can...
I would imagine
every day, right?
I would think
if you've eaten like 1,000 calories more than you should you just go for it because the rest of it's not going to be absorbed. It can't absorb that much.
I don't know the answer to that. I understand the question. Now here I have the stats in front of me. If you eat 72 hot dogs like Joey Chestnut did, and trust me when I tell you, if I have two, I'm full. Aren't you like that? Like one, you go, no,
one's
that's,
enough.
That's a good hot dog.
But
and by the second one, you go, I can't eat anymore.
Yeah, but
dogs.
As kids, didn't you always have two?
I always had two hot dogs, but then I think I've told you this. When I was a kid, I could eat 10 White Castles because I really enjoy White Castles. And I could do 10. Now I can do 3, and that's pushing it. So what happened to me? Shouldn't I have been able to eat more as I got older?
Well, you're not a growing boy anymore.
I guess. And I'm injured. You know that.
Oh, my God.
I currently have an injury. So I know that plays into it a little bit.
We know it's not a hollow leg anymore.
Right. That's a definite. But I don't... something must happen to the route that food takes, but why isn't he really fat? Because if I ate 71 of anything, 72 of something, I'd be fat.
Not in one day. I mean, if you just did it one day, I know they have to practice, and it's so funny. Most people will go for a jog. They'll go for an eat.
Right.
Practice how to get that down quickly. But it's not like they eat like that every day.
But he must train for this, right?
Right,
it's like a marathon to him.
I don't know how often they train, but still, like, if you ate 72 hot dogs in one day, you wouldn't just wake up fat the next day.
I wouldn't be gigantic. I wouldn't be Jabba the Hutt fat. But
for
you know
one
how,
day, no one would be.
Didn't you ever have a dinner where you go, oh, I've eaten too much, and then you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself and you go, look at me. I just had one dinner, and I look different.
What is wrong with you?
Haven't
you don't
ever done
gain
that?
Weight overnight.
Yeah, you do. If you have a big dinner...
Yeah, if you're a wrestler and you're starving yourself, yeah, I could see where you have to get on a scale. You are not going to get overweight from eating one overindulgent dinner.
I will quickly prove you wrong. For Father's Day, my daughters gave me a 10-pound bag of peanut butter M&Ms.
And you ate it all in one sitting.
I had Joey Chestnut came over, and the two of us polished off the bag.
And he watched.
He watched. And he said, how could you eat that many peanut butter M&Ms? I'm amazed by this. I had more than I should have eaten. You know, I didn't eat the whole bag. There's still a bunch of it left. But I had I was watching a television show, and I kept reaching in and grabbing two or three. And then, like, the next day, I'm like, look at me from one sitting of peanut butter M&Ms. You know? Plus, now I'm injured, Wendy, and I can't work it off as normally as I would.
Are you able to step up on the scale with your injury?
No.
Oh.
Nope. It's too dangerous. It's too high up.
All right. Mentalfloss.com. I'm not even listening to you, too.
Oh, look down there.
I mentioned the Black Widow. Sonia Thomas is her name. In 2011, she won the first ever woman's division of Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. 40 dogs in one sitting, 12,360 calories in 10 minutes. 800 grams of fat, 1,400 milligrams of cholesterol, 920 grams of carbs.
That's for 40, because I've got Joey Chestnut's numbers. I'll read those to you, and you'll get dizzy.
All right, now to counter life on the eating circuit, Sonia the Black Widow Thomas's everyday diet consists of lots of fruits, vegetables, seafood, and chicken, and she puts in 10 hours of cardio exercise each week.
Good. That's
so
good.
The combination works. I just want to know how much they train. Because one time of eating that, if you eat 12,000 calories in one day, you're going to absorb a little more than you probably should, and then you're going to eliminate the rest of it. Your body doesn't need that.
That's what I'm saying. There's a point when it has to stop absorbing.
Right.
And then the rest of it just, you know.
You just spend 45 minutes in the bathroom after this contest?
Maybe.
So it's like a get out of hot dog eating contest free card.
No, I don't think that's how that works, Steve. I think that's when it becomes fat. Any calories that you're not, you know.
But one day is not going to, like, you're not going to see somebody turn into the guy from Monty Python's The Meaning of Life in one day.
Sure, but he probably spends, like, the next day just not touching food, I would assume.
Mr. Carasote, was that his name?
Yes, just one more life out there, mint.
Right. You wouldn't explode. I wouldn't think you would explode. I would hope you wouldn't explode from this. No,
I don't think
no
that's
contestant
possible.
At the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest has ever exploded.
Augustus Gloop, or who was it, one of them?
Augustus Gloop from Willy Wonka? No. No, you wouldn't
Boy,
pop.
That would make it more exciting.
It's like I filled up my car, my air tire with air today. I'm always afraid it's going to explode.
I know, I do too. What's wrong with this?
So just like one more hot dog. By the way, I read that they train with hot dog-shaped rice cakes. So that's how they
do. They really?
Yeah.
No,
I don't
believe
you.
That's impossible.
I don't know when to believe either of you.
Joey Chestnut's intake yesterday, as he polished off 72 hot dogs in just 10 minutes, he absorbed 20,160 calories. He had 1,296 grams of fat, 2,160 milligrams of a word I can't read because I can't read my own writing, and 56,160 milligrams of sodium. That's a lot of sodium. That's like a week's supply of sodium. Even the calories, What is your caloric intake for a day? Is supposed to be 600 or 700?
No, I think for men, 600? Men it's like 2,000, I think.
You should have been a model. I'm going to call you Kate Moss.
Let me tell you something, Wendy.
600?
Twiggy and I were having a conversation about this yesterday. She said to me, she goes, don't go over 600 a day. And
especially with the leg injury, you need 400.
I didn't even want to mention the leg injury.
Because you're not burning off as many calories with the leg injury.
Right, that's
according
true.
To Quora.com, the competitive eaters eat huge amounts of food on the competition day, and it is not their lifestyle. Average person needs 2,200 calories per day to maintain his weight.
How much?
2,200. That's to maintain weight. If you want to lose 12 to 1,600, you shouldn't go below 1,200.
So does that mean I could just pick out and say, well, it's not my lifestyle,
right?
And then I won't gain weight?
Yeah, you're allowed to do that, sure.
Now, if that person stayed hungry on the day of the competition, he will consume his daily calories plus maybe another 1,000 or two during the competition.
Yeah.
This will not affect the weight much since it's a one-time thing. Most competitive eaters rid their stomach from the extra food after the competition is over. Kevin, you win on that one.
Well,
so that means what?
And not all of them, but it says most. Again, this is Quora.com.
That means they just go right to the bathroom and throw up?
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
If they're going to rid their stomach of it. Would you want to sit around with 70 sloppy, slimy, wet hot dogs in your gut?
No.
The whole thing is really bad because the body suffers great shock. For when a person usually consumes 2,000 calories during a day, it's suddenly consuming much more in a shorter period of time. This is not a good way to shock your system.
How do they not throw up during the contest?
That's what I don't get.
I would throw up during the contest.
They have to have some sort of, like, they probably don't have a gag reflex, right? Because they're, like, literally choking on these.
Yeah.
I was a pretty good beer bonger back in college where you could kind of open up your...
That was not the answer that any of us were expecting. We all had. If this was match game, we would have all gone home losers.
Blank.
I hate all of you. Why did I come back to work? I'm actually blushing. You made me blush.
Wendy was a pretty good.
Alan Seuss, what's your answer?
Stop it. The beer bong was just a funnel. And you had to kind of open up your throat and let it go down. And it was stupid.
Sure.
And college, I was pretty good and can do it effectively.
Sure.
I'm married now. I don't need to do it.
Now, that's the answer we were expecting.
Right. We have to take a break.
You broke Steve Bertrand.
All right.
Did you miss me?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It is Bill Off and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. We're trying to figure out the magic of Joey Chestnut. He is the reigning hot dog eating contest champion over on Coney Island, where the last couple of days he had 72 hot dogs, 72 over a 10-minute span of time. Now, the women's champion, Mickey Sudo, had 41 hot dogs in 10 minutes. So, again, here's another question, a little side question. Why would a guy be that much better at this than a woman?
Woman has smaller stomach.
Is that what it is? I bet it is, right?
Did you leave your brain at home today?
I don't bring my brain in at all anymore. I have an injury, Wendy. Everything I carry is extra weight.
Judy, Bill has a leg injury, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I have a leg injury.
Yes, we've heard it several times.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you.
What's up?
Wendy, you guys were hysterical. I don't know what was... I was going through a toll booth. I almost hit the wall. So funny.
Well, thank you, Judy. That's very nice of you.
Yes, that was good. Even with your leg injury, Bill, it's great. You can still be funny.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Judy, have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
So if you're this guy, if you're Joey Chestnut, now he's a celebrity for this, you know, for being the hot dog eating champion every year. But what do you
use that term loosely? Celebrity.
But what do you do with that? Does he make money off of this? Does he? How does he make money? Do the Nathan's Hot Dog people pay him to do this contest?
I would imagine.
Get sponsorship somehow.
Does he? Yeah.
The winner made like $10,000, I thought, or something like that.
For eating a lot of hot dogs and then throwing up?
Well, that's not how it's billed. I mean, it
doesn't seem right.
It's promoting Nathan's and people watch it.
But if you're promoting a product... Forgive me if anyone's having lunch, but throwing up isn't very... That's not
what they're saying. I mean, again, this was from Quora.com. They said many of them will relieve themselves of the food afterwards. That's right. Not saying they all do.
No, they would have to. Wouldn't they? You don't want to walk around. Even if you, let's say you had 5 hot dogs in your gut. You don't want to walk around with that. They'd have to. What's the line like to the bathroom after this contest?
It doesn't go automatically right through you.
No.
Oh, you mean to throw up?
Yeah.
Who needs a bathroom for that?
Oh. It's a beach.
Yeah, you just need a garbage can.
Does tourism go down on Coney Island right after this contest? I bet it does. It's awful. I wouldn't want to be. Would you want to be in something like this?
No.
They must do local. Do they ever do local Chicago food eating contests?
Patrick Bertoletti, who's from here. We should try and get in touch with him.
I had him on the nighttime show once. He was fun.
He is a great guy, and he's been competing every once in a while at the Nathan's, but he's more of the local thing, and then he opened up a restaurant, which is probably better for him.
Oh. Why is it always hot dogs? Why don't they do other types of food? What is it about hot dogs that makes it...
Well, I think at the State Fair, don't they do pie-eating contests?
Oh, maybe. Bobby Brady was in an ice cream eating contest. Remember that episode?
Wow, yes, I do, Bill.
I have the prize info and net worth of some of these competitors.
Is Joey Chestnut a millionaire?
He is not. He's close, though. He's at $800,000.
He's made $800,000 just eating hot dogs.
Time to rethink your career, Bill.
Takeru Kobayashi's net worth is $3
million. What?
Kobayashi's been doing this forever, though.
And all he does is eats food. That's it.
Well, it's not just the Nathan's competition. He does, like, a world tour of, you know...
Food competition. Like whatever country he's in, he eats food that's native to their region.
I think I could win a mozzarella cheese stick competition. You know, the fried cheese sticks.
I bet. I'm sure you could.
Although, here's the weird thing. When I eat something, I like to chew it and enjoy it.
No, they don't. There's no time for that. It's just get it in your mouth, get it down, get another one. That's it.
But I'm telling you, when you get
this
a hot dog...
This is why other countries don't like the United States. Because they show this in other parts of the world, and they go, that's what's going on in America?
That used to be why.
Yeah, right. There are different reasons now.
Things have changed.
But you know when you get a hot dog and you bring it home, and sometimes they oversteam the bun and it's a little soggy? That bothers me.
Yeah.
Imagine dipping it in water.
No.
I
won't even put milk on cereal.
Well, that's just un-American.
I was in a Kaboom eating contest over the weekend, Wendy. I came in 9th because I wouldn't put milk on it.
I don't know what to say sometimes. Hi, Lisa. How are you? Bill's leg injury is taking him over.
Good. Did you guys know that there's a thing as the MLE?
What is that?
Major League Eating Association.
No.
Bill was at, they're actually... They're in this association just like Major League Baseball or soccer, and there is every food category you could imagine. You should look it up.
Ugh.
Do they have cheese sticks? Because I want to participate.
Probably. My son said the same thing.
And when they call themselves the Major League Eating Contest, that's not a, they're not
too
treading
high,
on Major League Baseball's copyright, are they?
No.
I hope not.
But they're competing for money. It's crazy.
And is it a large sum of money?
I don't know. I think it just varies on where it is and what you're eating. Like, there's a spaghetti one. There's asparagus. It eats everything.
Yeah. All right. Wow. And do they don't televise these, do they?
ESPN2 did this one.
So.
This is the only one.
That's the only one I've ever seen on TV is the hot dogs.
They have a Hooters World Wing Eating Championship. Look at all these events. If you go to MajorLeagueEating.com.
See?
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'll go against your son with the mozzarella sticks.
How many could you eat in 10 minutes?
Team up.
In 10 minutes.
What could I do?
Yeah, how many could you do?
Well, the whole reason that I know this is because I did this one time.
You did?
Oh!
I had to eat 20 White Castles.
In how long?
10 minutes, but it didn't take me that long.
Oh, so you got it done. You ate 20. That's
they're called
great.
Sliders for a reason. They slide right down your throat.
I know, exactly.
And how did you feel afterwards?
This was just on a bet. Pretty awful.
Did
but
you?
It was good when he paid me the $200. Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad money, I guess. That's not bad.
No, that was just on a bet, so.
And you'd never do it again, right? That's a one-time thing?
Never say
one
never, Lisa.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You got to retire after the one.
Did they have cheese on them at least?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't eat them without cheese.
That would weigh it down even more, though. If given the option to eat 20, I would go without the cheese just to get a little more space. A little more.
I was confident.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. Well, good for you, I guess. But you didn't, like, we're trying to figure out what happens immediately after. You don't have to get too graphic, but
Did you throw up?
You visited the bathroom right after, didn't you?
I did. They wanted to make a stipulation of like 15, 20 minutes, and I was like, no.
Wow.
But
wow.
See, now that might be something too. Like if they throw up immediately after the Nathan's thing, then they don't get the title. Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, yeah, they have to wait a certain amount of time.
Right. Right. All right. Well, what a crazy story. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
You as well. Joey Chestnut, back in 2012, ate 7.61 pounds of buffalo chicken wings in 12 minutes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't figure out. I know he doesn't do this often, but in my head, when you hear about a guy eating that much food, you go, that's got to be a really big guy, but he's not a big guy.
I'm trying to wonder if I even eat like 40 hot dogs in a year.
I don't think I do.
No. I only eat them at baseball games. That's the only time I ever eat hot dogs.
And when Portillo's brings
the
hot dogs.
If they bring one in, yeah.
But you never go out and get a hot dog?
I can't remember the last time I did that.
See, now I have to go to Henry's Hot Dogs on the way home in Cicero.
This has made you want them?
Yeah, because now I want a hot dog.
But you want one hot dog.
I can only eat one.
Yeah, that's the limit.
But as a kid, I remember putting like an Oscar Mayer, nothing against them, but that is not like your typical Vienna beef hot dog.
Yeah.
It's good when you're a kid, but then when your palate gets better when you get to be an adult, it's hard to eat an Oscar Mayer wiener now.
Yeah.
It just tastes like you fried bologna, which is good. But as a kid, I just remember if somebody was grilling them, I could probably eat three or four.
I usually did Ballpark Franks because of their tagline.
They plump when you cook them.
That appealed to me.
That's your tagline. And you've been in the sun all week.
Right.
We got a break.
All right, a quick break. And then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy. We plump when you cook us. It's WGN.
Our friend Dane Neal is here.
I see Dane Neal sitting right over there. Hello, Dane. Thank you for filling in last week, by the way.
Oh, it was great.
Really appreciate it.
And we talked a little... some Bill-related comments. I tried to respond as you would, because I know the listeners, we don't want to send
useless
them into
pop culture.
Well, it's funny, because Steve Bertrand changed that from pop culture to, was it history culture?
Oh, really?
Or pop history?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh.
Because
sure.
It's kind of old stuff that you bring up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One of my favorite segments of the time, and they were all memorable and worthy of being favorites, was we talked a little vintage toys, and we reminisced and revisited our times with My Buddy.
My Buddy.
Oh, sure. My Buddy and Me. I remember those commercials.
Just to keep you alive,
well,
we talked about
so
My Buddy.
Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you. Dane, we were just talking about food, so this will be an interesting transition from food into food.
Best week of the year.
Right.
It's called a pivot, Bill, and that's when you pivot from food into food. And you think about it. It's baseball, hot dogs, apple pie. Those are the ones that are in the team photo just coming off of our Independence Day and, you know, July 4th. I got to say, fried chicken has got to be about as all-American as you can get. And here we are on the verge. I'm sure you see all the sales in the stores, the jewels, the decorations for National Fried Chicken Day, which is coming up tomorrow. So we want to prep people. Sometimes we kind of bask in the day as it is the day.
Right.
Sometimes we try to prep people, you know, so they can, I'm sure there'll be, you know, celebratory riots and things like that.
There
right?
always are.
Yep. And so National Fried Chicken Day. And so one of the things we're going to highlight, one of my favorite restaurants in Chicago or anywhere is Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab right over there on Grand.
Incredibly delicious.
They do.
Not just a little delicious, incredibly delicious.
They're absolutely awesome. I think their success is a testament to all the things they're doing right. But one of the things a little under the radar as far as what they do, you think about the seafood and the steaks and, of course, the crab, but is fried chicken. And in studio, we've got the executive chef, Justin Diglia. He is here to share what it is they're doing for fried chicken.
Justin, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
So immediately when people think about Joe's, seafood comes to the forefront immediately. But why fried chicken?
We just do it right. We keep it simple. And I always tell people and quality of the ingredients makes a difference. And we have our fried chicken is organic, free-range chicken. And I got to be honest, chicken is just one thing you can't substitute lower quality for. I mean, you start getting these big, crazy chicken breasts. They just no flavor. And when you have organic, free-range chicken, it takes half the work away.
Sometimes you can't even identify the piece because it's just a weird shaped piece when you get into it like somewhere.
The McNugget range or something?
Well, you know, you get a 4-piece chicken dinner and you're like, this doesn't look like a thigh, a wing, or a leg. I don't know what it is. And I was always that kid when we went out with our family to Howard Johnson's on family vacation.
Oh, look at you name dropping.
I was always the one who said, yes, I'll take the fried chicken. And the wait person would say, you know, that's 45 minutes. And I'm like, I don't care. I will settle down. But when you go to Joe's, I see it on the menu, but I can't deviate from the king crab legs.
Yeah, it's, I mean, who can? You know,
but
I
now
mean,
we're going to have to.
But, yeah, right. But, I mean, as we start getting, you know, more reputation for our fried chicken, people will have it as appetizer, you know, like we'll chop it up a little bit smaller pieces so you can share it. I mean, it's just, you know, if you want that fried, crispy, something to get started at the beginning of your dinner, it's great. If you want it as an entree. I mean, if you really want it as a dessert, why not, right? Who's,
well, a little bit of ready whip on some chicken? Who's going to say no to that?
Hey, right, exactly. Well, Chef Justin's here to kind of help inspire us to kind of branch out, push that envelope. And you guys have a lunch special, too. So if you want to kind of dip your big toe into the lunch style portion of the chicken, right? You've got that.
Yeah, so for lunch right now, I mean, it's a great deal. So like our normal fried chicken's $18.95, but for $5 more, we throw in 2 more sides and a slice of pie. So you get a mac and cheese, our coleslaw, which is famous for Joe's. Mm-hmm. And then how can you not finish with a slice of cherry pie, Door County cherries from Wisconsin, with a Jubilee sauce and ice cream.
That sounds so good. Now, I'm stuck. Most people are stuck on the key lime pie, but the blueberry is always good. The cherry is always good. You guys, there's nothing there that isn't outstanding.
Well, it's summertime, so key lime's great because it's a nice box pie, but cherries are in season. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't really...
Anything preceded by the word Jubilee is good. Right. If you were Jubilee good. Bill, you would be a better Bill.
No, that's true. I can't argue with that. Is it hard to convince some people, though, if they're looking at that vast menu over at Joe's and the seafood is just, you know, so famous for being so good? Is it hard to convince somebody try the fried chicken, or is that an easy move?
I wouldn't say so, and especially our regulars. Our regulars really help push the sales as well because it's kind of a hidden gem, but not really. I mean, we can sell up to 50 orders a day, which is quite amazing feat in itself. But again, it's just so simply prepared. We just do it in a seasoned flour, egg wash, and then the final like breading is Lance crackers. And that's what gives it that like nice hidden crunch.
See, he's given up some of the secret to the trade. See, there's that confidence that, look, I can tell you how to make it. You can't necessarily replicate. Plus the ambiance of Joe's and all that. And you think about chicken as kind of one of our uniquely, you know, American dishes. I was at a rest stop somewhere on a highway, and there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, not in the anywhere near the elevated range, but it had, you know, Colonel Sanders as the original celebrity chef.
Yeah.
I mean, original recipe, maybe,
right.
I get, right?
Right.
But, so, Chef, when you're trying to do something, put your own spin on something as simple but as iconic, and like you said, you've got to have the right ingredients as fried chicken. What are you thinking of as far as Joe's kind of?
I think you
did. You try to make it kind of special and different.
No, you said it correctly. You keep it simple, and that's the key. And something you even learn in school. It's called KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And it sounds funny, but honestly, that's what you got to do. And that's what we do. But again, it just comes to the great ingredients. And 45 minutes is a little long for fried chicken. We're about 16-17 minutes.
That's not bad. See, they've perfected it. Will you say something to the listeners out there? I have run into people who say, I haven't had fried chicken in about 20 years because it's really bad for you. I don't care. It's the best thing ever invented. It's okay to have once in a while, isn't it?
Of course it is. You know, you got to eat and...
Come on, boneless, skinless breasts, don't cut it, man.
Well, you got to eat in moderation, right?
Right.
So, like, if you just do it here and there, why not? Now, I don't know if I'd recommend it every single day, but
no.
I could recommend other things at Joe's every single
day. Exactly. Go through the menu.
Right?
Justin, you don't seem, like, I see a lot of chefs on TV that are angry, and you don't seem angry. How did you go into chefing if you're not, you don't have a grudge?
It's chefery. It's chefery, Bill.
Chefery is, what is it? What's going on? How come you're not so angry?
I'm not sure. I think that's maybe gearing towards a more modern day chef. I mean, it is a business. We got to, you know, motivate employees. We got to be there. It's a team environment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a sports team. I was really big into sports in my life, and you got to rally behind your guys just like anything else and make them happy because we're a busy restaurant. If they're not happy, you know, we're not going to put out a good product. So we got to, you know, that's kind of what I live by.
So motivational speech, like, let's do this dinner for the Gipper kind of thing.
Right.
Because you want the Gipper to come back.
Always. Always. You know what's one of the coolest things about Joe's, and there's many cool aspects of it, but I love this. When you first come in, that first room is kind of a casual room, and then the more formal dining area is beyond those next doors. I like that you offer up that option to diners.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, anybody can come in, you know, in the bar area, you know, can kind of come in from the lake, get in, yeah. have a drink, have an appetizer. If you want something more formal, you step into the dining room. I mean, we have private rooms. It's just, we have a little bit for everybody.
Yeah. It's always fun.
So we'll definitely, as far as National Fried Chicken Day, you know, you can get in into Joe's. You can check it out. You can try it. How long is this something you're going to continue for? We're just highlighting it today. Or is this something you can get for a long period of time? Because sometimes you'll run things for certain periods.
Well, we're going to do it the whole month. So we're National Fried Chicken Month is what we're calling it. So you can come in for the rest of the month and enjoy this special. And it's fantastic. It's great.
Very good.
And the address on the website where people can find you motivating and also providing some great dishes.
Joes.net. And then it's 312-379-5637. And we're just over here on the corner at 60 East Grand.
Easy to find and always so good. Justin, thank you for
always.
Being here.
Of course. Thank
One
you
of our
for
favorite
having
restaurants
me.
By far. We'll take a quick break, and then Dane's sticking around. We'll talk more about food next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Dane Neal still sticking around. We're talking about fried chicken and other foods. And, Dane, it's a special day, week, and month for fried chicken.
You hear very little bit about other foods, but sometimes chicken isn't necessarily the same chicken that you know and love, right? Chicken can be new and different and exciting things to you, kind of role-playing, right, with a relationship. And your lifelong relationship with chicken has changed in the last couple of years as the Nashville hot phenomenon has kind of gone across the country. And a guy who did a ton of recon for it and has brought back what has been acclaimed as some of, if not the very best. Jared, at this point, do you say outside of net or is it just is everybody kind of swimming in the same pool now? But for the Budlong here in Chicago, mm-hmm. acclaimed and beloved Jared Leonard is here. Jared, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having
me, Jared. What happened? All of a sudden, nothing can be hot enough for people. There was a time where people went, oh, that's too hot. I can't eat that. Those days are gone. People wanted hotter and hotter and hotter. What happened?
Well, I mean, there's like an endorphin release from the spicy food, and I think people have become hooked on it. And it adds a little bit of excitement to your meal. So not only are you getting fed, but you're getting a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm. We went to Nashville last year. Yep. I had to try Nashville chicken. The original Prince's, I think we talked about. Yep. And it served, I don't think we got extra hot, but we got hot.
Yeah, Prince's is evil hot.
It is, and it comes on a piece of bread.
Right.
And my youngest son, Dylan, didn't know you're not supposed to eat the bread. So he almost died after eating the chicken.
Why can't you eat the bread?
Because all the hot soaks right into there.
Well, see, I would say the bread's some of the most delicious part. And in fact,
we loved it.
We went up from white bread. We serve it on Texas toast.
Oh.
So it's a thicker piece of white bread, a nicer piece of white bread if you can imagine that. In fact, I've got some here to show you in a minute here.
It's hot.
Now, Prince's, though, they were the inventor of fried chicken. Originally a lover's quarrel, lover's
scorn. It's a great story. Do you guys know the story?
No.
So Prince's started about 75 years ago. Thornton Prince was kind of well-known as a guy who liked to go out on the town. And
yeah.
He came home one night after being out all night, asked his girlfriend at the time to make him some fried chicken.
Yeah.
And she wasn't invited on this previous night's trip, and so she was upset at him and wanted to get back at him through revenge and said she's going to make him some fried chicken, and she made it so spicy with the intention of causing harm, but it totally backfired on her, and he's eating his fried chicken, and he's like, honey, this is delicious. What did you do to this chicken to make it so good? And she told him, and he opened up what is now Prince's, but at the time was just some little hole-in-the-wall Nashville chicken hut or something it was called. And
Wow. That
was 75 years ago. Now it's grown into this phenomenon where it's loved all across the country, and specifically in Nashville, there's about 8 places they're doing just hot chicken.
That's it.
And then everybody else like has it on their menu. So, we wanted to be Chicago's place that just does hot chicken. We're not a, burger and wing restaurant that has it on our menu. We're a hot chicken restaurant.
It's
Do people
hot.
Ever say this isn't hot enough? I want it even hotter. Does
yeah, in fact, 2 weeks ago we had a Facebook live stream contest of guys trying to eat the world's hottest pepper. We made so the base of hot chicken is cayenne pepper.
Yeah,
that's traditionally what you use to spice it up. But cayenne can only get so hot, so you can add more and more cayenne. But then at a certain time, at a certain level, it's just can't get any hotter with cayenne. So you go to ghost pepper, you go to scorpion peppers, Trinidad scorpion peppers. Well, we did this with the Carolina Reaper pepper.
Oh my God, what
so,
is that?
So just to
things are named Evil Hot and Reaper, you know, those are the beware signs of language.
So a jalapeno pepper is 8,000 on the Scoville, which is like the universal rating for spicy. What you know, the rating of how spicy food or peppers or whatever are.
And this is 8,000.
So, yeah, jalapeno is 8,000. Carolina Reaper is 2.2 million.
What?
Oh, my God.
A habanero pepper is 500,000. This is four times as hot as a habanero
pepper.
Oh,
no.
Doesn't your tongue burn off?
It's hot. I mean, these guys were on this, so they had to eat chicken tenders, and it was who could eat the most chicken tenders covered in Carolina Reaper hot in 5 minutes. And the winner ate four of them. Mark Wamhoff, shout out to you, Mark. And he ate four, and his face was just fiery red, and his eyes were red, and he was crying. It was hilarious.
When you eat something that hot, of course you're going to taste it in your throat and on your taste buds, but then do you taste it once it's in your stomach? Can you still feel the hotness in there?
So I like hot food, and I can tough it out. Yeah. I had, at the end of the broadcast, somebody challenged me to, like, hey, you should eat one of these. You're hosting this contest. And I said, sure, and I grabbed a tender, and I dug in, and I can muscle through the tongue hot. But this was so hot that afterwards my chest actually hurt.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's the level you're taking it to when you get to the Carolina Reaper.
Having done a couple of these, like, hot challenges where it's either – where one was, like, the triple X. It had Carolina Reaper, Scorpion, and Ghost Pepper on it. And you can kind of get through – like Jared had said, you can kind of get through the mouth hot. But then it really messed me up, like, inside. And then, of course, the next day was absolutely horrible. So, yeah.
And what can you use to combat the hot? Because I know sometimes people say milk, sometimes people say a cucumber. Is there something that can help alleviate that hotness after the fact?
Well, that's actually part of the reason why you have the white bread. So the white bread is gonna soak up a little bit of the heat, and then the pickles that we serve on top of our chicken, they also can take some of it out. Now, that's just what you have in your box. If you just have whatever tool... sucking on peaches works.
Really?
Yeah, nothing carbonated. And water really doesn't work either. So cold vegetables or fruit, I find, works really well to just sort of mute it. But it's like, you know, when you're eating the stuff that's millions on the Scoville, it's just so hot that it's like nothing's going to help you except time.
Right.
Cold beer won't have any effect on
this. Oh, that's terrible, yeah. Because really, anything with carbonation is going to really, it's going to dance on your taste buds and make it hotter.
So you have to be sort of like either a culinary or some kind of pain-related adventurer for some of these things. But we're getting a little bit off track on some of it because to walk that fine line of having things have that kind of the excitement of the heat, a little bit of danger in there, but amazing flavor and taste where you're really enjoying it. This isn't like, let's see if we can survive. People are loving the Bud Long because of the flavor. Like, you build in some heat, but you've got that flavor.
Yeah, that was my goal. There's a place in Nashville called Bolton's, which was an offshoot of Prince's, and they're arguably the hottest because they don't add any oil to the chicken. It's just dry seasoning, so you choke on it, literally.
Oh, that sounds delicious. You know,
I want to see you eat that, Bill.
So having tried all the different styles, we came back here and spent about a year doing research and development and hosting chicken labs with other chefs and customers and doing tastings up at my barbecue restaurant and really fine-tuned our method of Nashville hot to include heat, but it's really like back-end heat. It's not meant to be forward. It's because it starts with really good fried chicken. And if we're going to make really good fried chicken with hormone and antibiotic-free birds and good breading and everything, I want you to taste that.
Sure,
you know?
Of course.
So first, we wanted you to taste the chicken, crispy skin, and then have the spices kind of come in. And at the very end, the heat starts to kick. But mine does not have a front heat. It's a background heat, which makes it more tolerable, except then I'm talking like we have four levels. We have naked, which isn't spicy at all.
Yeah.
We have classic, which is what y'all have here.
Yeah.
Hot, which is another level up, and then extra hot. So
I'm trying the classic.
Which one? You have the classic, so that's...
But I have mostly just the crust and not meat. Do I need more meat with this bite? Or...
It depends. I mean, I like the crust is my favorite part. That's what
Me too.
Fried chicken's all about, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You guys talked a little bit about the bread situation, how that's all part of the experience, and then you've got the pickles as well, right? These are the accoutrements of the Nashville hot chicken.
Right. So
but Jared
pulled
out some bread and it burst into flames, Dane, and that's what's scaring me. Bread's not just supposed to burst into flames like that.
Don't set off the sprinklers.
It's pretty hot.
I'll tell you what, another thing.
And that's the level two.
But it's gradually increasing in heat. It's
It doesn't hit you right away. It takes a little time for it to
hot,
kick in.
But it's now getting hotter and it's kind of sweet and tart and it's such a good flavor.
And then if you...
Will I die?
No, you're good.
No, you're good.
Eventually.
And another thing that we're known for that sort of will flatten out the heat a little bit is our Bud Long biscuits, which is a laminated dough biscuit made with slow-churned European butter, white lily, soft winter wheat flour. Really,
really
good.
What's in the center, though, Jared? There's some dark...
Yeah, that's a salt and pepper butter that we make in-house. And so we put a little dimple in the biscuit top and then put the butter inside and it gets in the layers of flaky goodness.
It looks good. It looks like Kirk Douglas's chin.
Oh, my God.
And I think we even brought you all some house-made jam. I know we're not going to do all this on
nice.
The air, but we do a balsamic berry jam. Somewhere in my bag.
Oh, that sounds really
here.
Good.
All right, this is good.
Uh-oh, but I can tell.
It's a little hot.
It's burning you up a little bit.
But
where do you feel it mostly?
On the very top of my tongue.
Yeah. Okay.
So Jared, I know that you can get it at the restaurant, so we want to definitely get that address. But summer is a great time. I know that you're probably going to be doing some summer festivals and doing some other events and appearances.
Yeah, this weekend, actually, we're going to be in Lincoln Square, where the Budlong name comes from. It was an old farm in the 1800s that grew cucumbers and pickled vegetables. They sold in a store, and we serve pickles on top of our chicken. So we have a store in Lincoln Square. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, we're doing a festival called the Old Town School of Music Fest on Lincoln Avenue.
That's a great one, yeah.
Great festival. Last year we showed up there and had like a 45-minute line from Friday to Sunday. So this year we're bringing more fryers and we're going to add chicken tenders to the outside menu because they cook a little faster. One of the challenges with fried chicken is you got to cook it fresh.
It
takes 20 minutes to cook a piece of chicken. So, you know, when you fill your fryers up and there's 60 people in line, I'm going to take 40 pieces of chicken out in 20 minutes, but then they're already sold.
Right.
And then everybody else is just waiting another 20 minutes and... We're going to get in front of it this year and try to feed the masses. So we'll be
Excellent.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Lincoln, 4200 North-ish. Look it up, Old Town School of Music Fest.
All right.
Too many customers are a good problem to have, but of course people can see you at the restaurant, so definitely give the address there and then the website where people can...
Yeah, so we've got three of these now. We've got one downtown at Adams and Clark in the Revival Food Hall. That's 125 South Clark Street. Mm-hmm. We've got one in Lincoln Park, 1008 West Armitage. That's Armitage and Sheffield. And then just open in Lincoln Square at 4619 Northwestern Avenue, just south of the Brown Line tracks there on Western Avenue.
Give it a try. It's really good, and it's like the taste continues after you've taken a bite, because at first it tastes like sugary a little bit and tangy, and it's just really good.
Yeah,
and I'm not choking, so that's a good sign.
That's a plus.
But it's also a lot of great ways to celebrate National Fried Chicken Week, month, day, whatever you want to do. Just extend
Make
it
year.
And enjoy. Yep.
Dane, thanks so much. Jared, great meeting you.
You too.
Again, it's Budlong Chicken. If you like stuff hot, you can't do better than Budlong Chicken. We'll take a quick break. News is next. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. To what do we owe this early visit from Steve Bertrand?
I've asked Steve Bertrand to come in because when you were off on Monday... Something was said on the show on Monday that has haunted me for 48 hours.
So I come to see him this morning. He goes, you know, Crosstalk, when you said this, and I said, I didn't say that, Bill. He goes, no, you did. And I said, no, I don't think I did. And then I can remember it coming up, I think, on your show,
Somebody
Bill.
Said it. Here's what it is, essentially. Somebody pointed out on the show, I thought Steve, but he has shown me that it was not him. Somebody said they did a survey in the early 1960s, and they asked people if they thought they were important. And 12% of people said, yes, I'm important. The other 88% said, no, I'm not so important. And then they just asked people the same question a few months ago, are you important? And 85% of people said, yes, I'm important. And 15% said no. So we went from, in the last 45 or 50 years, 12% of the population here in America thinking that they are important to now 85% thinking they're important. And I said to Steve, I keep thinking about this and thinking about this. What happened in the meantime that made that many people? Because I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing that people realize that they're important. Because we are all the center of our own universes, without a doubt. But why the difference that dramatic? Like in almost any other kind of a question, it would rise and fall by a little bit. But from 12% to 85%.
In 10 years, you said?
It's been 40 years.
I think that's a good thing. I think people need to have confidence.
True.
I think there's been a total shifting in the importance of the individual.
Do you think it has anything?
It used to be individuals.
Do you think it has anything to do with Mr. Rogers telling everyone they're special?
It could
think
have
about
a little
that.
Something to do with Mr.
Think
Rogers.
About that. What time? When did he start doing Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? You got a whole generation of people who know that they're special.
In the late 60s or early 70s?
There you go.
I think it comes down to more. This is just a theory. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think
if you're wrong, it's because you have a leg injury.
I do have a leg injury, Wendy. I think it comes down to the fact that we're so centered on our life through the internet now that so many people think that everything that they do, from taking a walk down the street to ordering pudding in a restaurant, they take a picture of it, they put it on their Facebook page, and 80 people say, wow, pudding, mmm, like that.
But this is over the course of the last 50 years, you said?
About 40.
We don't really know. 40,
I was sure Steve did it as part of his business lunch, and Steve said, no, I heard somebody say it on the show, but we can't figure out who said it or in what context.
Because you
know, it was 2 days ago, Wendy. Who can remember that far back?
People do have more self-importance because of social media, but if this is a span over a longer period of time...
Right.
Well, I think we do recognize people as... We used to write people off. Now there's the individually, you know, you can't do that to me.
Right.
You can't do that to them.
Right.
You know, whereas it used to be easier to do that to them.
Meaning that we now take into account, or hopefully take into account, everybody's feelings when discussing something.
Yes, and not just groups, but individual feelings,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I just think there's been that shift that way.
And I don't think this is
necessarily bad.
I don't think this is a bad thing at all. I'm just baffled that the number would rise that dramatically.
When I guess I'm still a mom. I was going to say when I was a mom, I still
That's
am.
That's very telling.
But when the boys were little, honestly, all I wanted them to have was confidence in themselves, because I never had as much confidence as I should have. And I think when you're confident, you'll try something.
Without a doubt.
So feeling important, I think, is a good thing, but being narcissistic is a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, there's a limit, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Without
a happy middle?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, you can feel a self-worth without thinking you're the only person in the room.
Right. So, all right. So part number one, why isn't that number higher? If everything we just said is true, why don't we all realize that without us, I know this sounds awful, but without whoever you are, there is no universe revolving around you. You know what I mean?
So it would have to revolve around you, because
you
you're
the most important person in your universe.
Well, that goes back to the speech, right? The commencement speech a couple of years ago, where he said, "You are not special." You know, the whole point of the guy's speaking. Do you remember that speech?
I do, but I don't remember who
it was.
This is the most interesting segment where you have no sources, no stories.
Well, this was a famous author's son, but he's an educator himself, and he gave a speech that you are not special.
Right.
You are one of a billion. You're this. You're not special. And, you know, there was pushback on that, because I think we are all individually special. I think what you're saying is
Yes. The
center of each of our own universes.
Is
so
you.
By definition, we're really important to ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
You should be. You should be.
I put everybody else's importance before mine. I always have. And
I think you do that.
And I need to be more... I want to say selfish, but it's not selfish. And I think Tina is putting it there. Tina, your thought on this?
Well, I think that a lot of this hinges on the definition of the word important. And when I think about, like, 50 years ago, okay, so that was 1967, I honestly think we had a different definition of the word important, in the sense that you are a big shot in the community. You are somebody that does all these amazing things, et cetera.
Right.
And you, as just a regular Joe, weren't necessarily important unless you were, for example, a mayor or a whatever.
Right.
And I think also at that time, you know, from a parenting standpoint, you know, while parents, of course, wanted their children to feel valued, you were always made to believe, or at least I was, that, you know, there's always somebody that you're going to have to kowtow to or listen to in terms of rules and regulations, and
yeah.
You listen to your parents, and that means that there's always somebody maybe more, quote, important than you.
Right, right.
And now I agree with what you were saying, like, now we have this more of a sense that, you know, everybody's lives matter. You know, everybody has something that can contribute to this world, and so that means that is an important element of our society in general, and you don't have to be the mayor. You don't have to be, you know, the CEO or whatever. You can just be the mom who's doing her best to raise a good group of kids, or you can be, you know, the person who goes to work every day at the jewel store, and your role is important, whether you're a cashier or a, you know, whatever.
Right.
I think that's the difference.
No, there's a lot to that. Do you remember years ago when they asked Bruce Springsteen who his hero was, and he said, my sister. And they said, what does your sister do? And he said, she's a stay-at-home mom. She works with her kids every day. She makes sure that their lives... And that, like, that was such a wake-up call, I think, to me and a lot of people, where you go, that's kind of a hero.
And an important job. Yeah. Tina, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you, Tina.
Savio wants to say something. Hi, Savio.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What do you make of this?
Good. Well, last summer we went to the Book Depository in Dallas, Texas, which was fantastic. And one of the stats they had was that in 1963, when Kennedy was assassinated, half the population was 25 and under.
Wow.
So now we're all aging, because I was in that age bracket. And now people have, you know, they think more of themselves than other people. So I just want to throw my two cents in.
So that's progress, right, wouldn't you say?
I guess.
I think so. I think, see, it's weird. It's hard to figure out if this is a step forward or a step backward sometimes.
Right, right.
You know? All right. Well,
thank you so
Savio.
Much. Can we take a quick break and then more listeners want to chime in on this? Are you important? Then give us a call, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are reunited. We were both on vacation, not together, different places, different days, but we are back in action. And when I was not here on Monday, you and Steve Bertrand were coming up with a story that neither one of you said.
It's the strangest thing. We can't figure out exactly how this came up on the show because we didn't do a segment about it.
But you heard it somewhere.
Yeah. This stat came about that said that in the 60s, they asked Americans if they thought they were important. This is in the 1960s, and 12% of the people who answered said, yes, I feel that I am important. They just redid the same survey. They asked people in 2017, are you important? And 85% of Americans said, yes, I'm important. That's quite a rise from 12% to 85% in 45 or so years. So what happened, and is this good news or is this bad news?
And I think we're trying to establish that it depends how you look at important.
That's the key to this, is what is your definition? What are your standards for what is or isn't important? I think that plays a large role in this.
Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. We're talking about importance. I think back then people were important. I think today maybe more people just think they're entitled. There's a big difference. I mean, I ride the Metro train every day. You want to see a group of entitled people. Ride the Metro train, people swearing, being rude, being ignorant. That's not important. That's entitlement. So you think you're important when you're just being entitled. There's a big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah, if you ask me the question, am I important? I guess it depends on who you ask. I may not be important to you on your radio show, but at home I am. So what makes a person important, and where is that relevant?
Scott,
you know?
You are very important to us. Don't
very
you ever
important.
Forget that.
And Scott, to
thank
your point...
You so much.
If somebody stopped me with a clipboard and just asked me that question, we need a yes or no answer to this. Are you important? I don't know that I could give a yes or no answer to that, as simple as it seems.
I would say sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes is right. Or in what scope, to what magnification do you mean?
But there's the thing. If I ask you with a clipboard, are you important, you may not be able to answer the question. If I ask your wife and children, are you, Bill, important? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that makes you important. Telling yourself you're important, sure, that's a good thing. But there's an era, like now you said, 12% to what, 80%?
85.
How much of that is entitlement? How much of that is just entitlement where, hey, you know what? I don't need to do this. I'm above this. I can do this. Because does that mean you're important or are you entitled?
Right.
But that's
there's a difference.
There's,
you know,
a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think the entitlement happened in recent times. Like if this goes back to 60, whatever you said it was.
Early 1960s.
I don't think people had a big sense of entitlement. That has changed within the last 10,
right.
maybe 15 years.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well said, Scott. Thanks so much.
Very important to us, Scott.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Because back then, I think we were trained. Now, this was the early 60s, so you and I were just, we were babies, so we don't know. But I imagine at that point that for most people, they went, you mean like in the scheme of things? No, I'm just one of the people
right.
walking around. That's what I am. But now things have changed so much that people, I don't know if it's more self-aware. I don't know what it is. I'm surprised the number's not higher now. I'm surprised it wasn't higher back then, but I'm shocked it wasn't 90 or 95% of people going, yeah, I'm important.
See, I don't know that I'm important. Am I needed sometimes in some situations?
Yeah.
Important is a difficult...
Right, it's vague, isn't it?
It's very.
Yeah. I know.
I don't. All right, one more on this, and then we got to take a break. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, yes. I also, thanks for taking my call, agree it's important to decipher, because if you ask someone, are you important, okay, as a human being, versus more important than your average person, that's a big distinction and lends to that entitlement piece. But also be interesting to hear the gender breakdown of her with surveys, because when you think about 50 years ago, women weren't necessarily empowered to feel as though they were more important than anyone else.
Absolutely.
Minorities and everyone else. So yeah. That does show progress.
I bet all my, not just women, but I bet it goes across the board to almost any minority too. Back then they were so kind of restrained, and now it isn't that way. So yeah, I'm sure that plays into a very good thought.
Too bad we can't find the study and get more information on this, but
right.
It's an interesting topic.
We have to figure out who said it first.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Is your leg injury important?
To me, it is.
But see, that's, and there's a difference too with being like, I really do care about others more than me. I really do. And I've kind of always been like that. It's not like just since I had kids. And then when I want to do something just for me, I feel very selfish about it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't go to like a favorite restaurant without my family. You know that. You've witnessed that, because I feel guilty that they're not with me.
Right. There's a guilt aspect to
but
that.
But damn, they would go anywhere without me.
Well, that's not good.
Well, but you would too. I would. I can't remember where you were going, and you said, "Oh, this is so and so's favorite place." And I said, "Don't you feel bad going without him?" You're like, "No, I'm."
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
I'm not sure.
I'm just weird that way. But important. What if somebody said, "Are you expendable?" Because you'd say, "Yes, absolutely."
Well, we have to know, because spoiler alert, we know how our stories end, right? So we're all expendable.
But in your job and your home, like, could people get along without you?
They would, if
pretty
something
much.
Happened to me, I'd be replaced by a monkey in 5 minutes. If that long, sometimes I go out into the hall to see if there's a monkey out there, just in case they want to replace me.
Can you believe him, Karen?
Yeah, actually, I can believe him. That's just
kind of
how he is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Karen. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that we created it in the generation of giving every child a participation medal and the helicopter parenting, you know, making all their kids feel like they're the most important thing anywhere, and so the parents would fix their problems. Everyone growing, I think, grew up thinking they're the most important.
Karen, do you remember what the 80s were called? What was the decade called in the 80s?
Oh, is that the me generation?
The me generation, the me decade.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, now that's what causes people, it's the self-importance, the entitlement. It causes people to talk on the cell phone in the middle of a movie. It causes people to cut you off because they need to get somewhere more, you know, more important than you do. And just anything like that just shows that everyone thinks they're the most important.
Honest to God, what happened to the golden rule? What happened?
Treat others the way you want to be treated.
I mean, what happened to that?
Old news.
Yeah, but that's all you have to do in life. You know what? If you don't agree with somebody, you could say something like, "Oh, well, I don't agree, but whatever. Let's go get a donut." You know, just end it, because I wouldn't want to be treated that way.
Right.
Why isn't that all we need, is the golden rule?
Karen,
isn't that it?
What do you think?
You know, I'm a teacher, and yes, that kind of makes everything work a lot better.
All right, well, how do I get this back in action here? I want to be the golden girl to get the golden rule back in order.
There's only one golden girl, Wendy, and that's Betty White, so sorry.
Well,
I can get her on board, I'm sure.
Karen, thank you. We really appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Take care.
That was a very nice sign-off with her. That was very polite. You treated her as you would like to be treated.
If I called Karen's show, I would want her to say goodbye to me the same way I just said goodbye to her. Absolutely.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to be going to the stream, and you can find us by going to WGNplus.com. If you're on the app, just go to our Facebook page. It's Bill Leff and Wendy
There's
Snyder.
There's a link
and,
there.
Yes. It's just easier said than done. Or done than said, I guess. Steve Bertrand will be coming up
Very
next.
Important man, Steve Bertrand.
According to himself.
He just sent me a note saying, please mention this in my intro. So
The Wintrust Business Lunch is coming up next, and we'll say hi to Steve Bertrand next, 720 WGN.